For the chief executive of the country's only hospice that offers the act of assisted dying on its premises is backing calls for changes to the law when it comes up for review later this year. Health Minister Shane Reti is drawing up the terms of reference for the review of the End of Life Choice Act with help from coalition partners. Tina McCafferty from Auckland's Totara Hospice joins us now. Good morning, Tina.
Kia ora, Ingrid.
Can you tell us about the work you do there at Totara Hospice?
Sure. At Totara Hospice, we provide specialist palliative and end-of-life care to our community in South Auckland. That means that we have a range of services, from services in people's homes to outpatients to within our own inpatient unit based in Manurewa. And we see assisted dying as part of a range of legal choices that are available to patients.
Mm. You are the currently the country's only hospice that offers the act of assisted dying on its premises. What is your experience of the law in practice?
Our experience of the law is that it's working generally quite well, but we welcome the review, as there's always things that we should be reflecting on, that we should be learning, and we should always be asking, what can we do better?
What do you think could be done better?
We would like to see changes in three main areas, and that would be the removal of the gag clause. That's basically the part of the Act that says that a clinician cannot raise the choice of an assisted death with patients, and we feel that that is completely at odds with the Health and Disability Code of Rights, you know, for the right for adults to be fully informed and the right for them to make a choice. Are you still there, Ingrid?
Yes, I am, yes.
Oh, sorry, it went terribly silent on my end. We also are looking for the removal of the prognostic period of 6 months. Prognostication is both an art and a science. It's not always accurate. The law is focused on suffering and letting the person who is dying define that suffering, so letting them choose when the time is right for them. So at best, we would like to see that removed or at least extended to 12 months.
Yeah, so currently it's 6 months, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And the third thing that we would like to see is the challenge of the right to conscientious objection at an organisational level as opposed to an individual one. And that's because, in our experience, although that finding by Justice Mallin would never have intended to cause harm or neglect, it has. And we would like to see that removed, as we also care for patients who've been refused the right to care in other facilities.
So what was that? I'm not familiar with that one. How did that work?
There is an ability within the Act and its interpretation for organisations to choose to conscientiously object.
I see.
To assisted dying at the legal level of organisation as opposed to individual.
Okay. Are you concerned at all, though, about, I guess this is a relaxing of some of those regulations, expanding who could use the bill, use the law, that would be the argument we've seen when the law was first introduced about the thin end of the wedge, about this becoming, you know, too available?
No, the evidence globally for a slippery slope just doesn't stack up. When you look at the number of assisted deaths, remembering that 400 million people globally have access to some form of assisted death, and yet within the jurisdictions, over the many years, many, many years, decades for some, that has been a legally available option, less than 2% of people choose it. You know, when you look at the numbers, there is just not the evidence for a slippery slope.
Appreciate your time this morning. That is Tina McCafferty, Chief Executive of Totara Hospice, with her thoughts there and experience using the assisted dying law, which is up for review later on this year.